Coming up on TMS, put kimchi on everything, even your smartphone home.
Firewood is racist. is that what E.T., is that what E.T. would do in 2018? E.T. smartphone home.
Yeah, smartphone home, E.T. Baboon got out of the joint.
Got stuck in the pit.
Pizza Man was armed to the teeth.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
But you feel about Gold Medal the way most women do. You count on Gold Medal. Trust it so much, you don't sift anymore. Gold Medal flowers, that fine, that uniform, that dependable. It gives you a feeling of confidence right down to your fingertips. What some call a white thumb. Couldn't your baking use this touch of Gold Medal confidence? Your white thumb?
I'll fight back, butt naked.
The Morning Stream. Donde está la biblioteca?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is the Morning Stream for April 18th, 2018. It's 9:12 a.m. We are running late because we had dumb problems this morning.
Yeah. Problems. Tech has been the bane, and really, it's really been my tech. I'll be completely honest here. It's been... the bane of my existence has kind of spilled over into TMS land. Well, we're hopefully getting it all dealt with.
But. Yeah, back in the day, early days of TMS, it was my ISP that was the most trouble.
Yeah.
So this is just fair play. It's fine. It all works out in the end. And we got you a show here, everybody. What are you complaining about? Here we are. They're not complaining. They're fine.
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want here?
Yeah.
Come on.
Now, listen, here's the deal. I want to thank some people for their contribution and continued support of the Kickstarter for the playing cards. That's going well, better than I expected. In fact, way better than I expected. So that means a lot of work for me, but it also means that we are onto something there. So I really appreciate that. If you don't know what we're talking about, go check it out over at frogpants.com/cards. And you can learn all about it if this is the first you're hearing of it. It's got like 29 days left, so plenty of time to get in there and
if you have any questions, you have just about a month to ask them and get them answered before.
Seems like that's plenty of time for most people, so good luck to you. All right, let's get right into it today.
Yeah.
Everyone here's mad at me. Not everyone. Kim seems to be okay with it, but the kids don't like it, and I'll tell you what they're mad about.
Okay.
I didn't, forget to feed the dog, or it's not like I set fire to something.
You haven't given kitty litter to the dog to eat, right?
Not since that first time with the cat. I've been pretty good about those things. I haven't left the oven on or done anything dumb like that. No.
Okay, good.
What I've done is I am now in this mode of putting kimchi on everything I eat, pretty much. And kimchi, as you may be aware, kind of reeks. It smells
stinky.
Yeah. It's like a rotten foot is the kind of vibe you get off kimchi sometimes. So while I understand this, as I grew up with it, my brother Matt ate kimchi constantly when I was a kid, and because of that, the house always smelled like this, you know, rotten foot. And but I gained a taste for it then, would have it occasionally, but lately I don't know what the deal is. If there's no kimchi, I'm upset. It's like, where's the kimchi? Who took the kimchi? And everyone's like, no one eats the kimchi but you, Dad. You ate it all. We're out of kimchi. Oh, okay, well, let's go to the store because we need more kimchi. That's the life.
So this isn't stuff that your brother made. This is stuff that you're just going to the store getting, like in a jar, and you put on as toppings to various items.
Yes, and no, because my brother's wife, Oknon, who I call Openon, lovingly. She makes authentic Korean kimchi. She is authentically Korean herself and has a very thick accent, and somehow that means something to me. But anyway, she makes it herself, and hers is the best. The problem with it is it lasts very little time, and I eat it all, and then I'm like, well, we need more, and then we'll go get a bottle at like Smith's, and it'll tide me over or whatever. And it is now to the point where if I go to a restaurant, I check the menu to see if they've got some kind of kimchi on top sort of option somewhere.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And usually you're not going to get that unless you're in some kind of fusion restaurant or Asian
thing. It's got to be. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. So they have this Asian place up by us that just open has these tacos that have not kimchi on, itself, but some kind of kimchi type flavoring sauce.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Korean something sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And they put those on these kimchi tacos, and it's amazing. So anyway, there, that gives you the idea of where I'm at with the kimchi on everything. Now, one thing I remember about growing up with my brother is, as a result of all of his consumption of kimchi, he started to smell bad. So even him, like, just sweating a little,
it comes out of your pores. Yeah, like, it's same with garlic.
Yeah,
if you eat a lot of garlic, you don't have to like burp on somebody and they smell garlic on you. It's like, oh, Larry just walked in the room and the whole place smells like garlic now.
Yeah, you just have to be in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And or in the proximity, and I worry that that's happening now. I just showered, I smell nothing kimchi-ish about me. But I don't know if you can tell if you're the guy. If you're the guy who's been eating kimchi all night, maybe you don't know, and it's everyone else who knows. I don't know. But I'm just warning everybody, when I get to Vegas, I may, I might be a little ripe. I don't know.
Oh, sweat all that stuff out. Don't bring your kimchi stink to Vegas, all right? There is, my God, if there was ever a city that already had plenty of its own stink,
yeah,
it's Sin City.
Yeah.
You can't spell Sin City. You can't spell stink without sin. Something. I know there's something in there.
No, you need an S, an I, and an N. I get it. Sure.
That's right. Exactly.
Why not? So here, chat room, if you are not familiar with this delicacy, here's a load of images of it. You might look at that and go, gosh, dude, what the frick are you putting in your body? If you've never had kimchi, I highly recommend it. It's basically rotten. I shouldn't say rotten. It's fermented cabbage.
Fermented cabbage.
Yeah. Rotten's the wrong word. It's got negative connotations. In the old days, what they would do traditionally is they'd bury it in a clay pot in the ground, and they'd put it in there for like 6 months with all these like peppers and spices and water and vinegar and all this stuff in there. Yeah. And then you go open it up and it would be this big rotten canna of whatever, of stinky, but it was so good. Like, it's super pickled. And
Is that how Okanon makes it?
I love you. You sound like all of us when you just said that. It was amazing.
Yeah.
she makes it herself, but she doesn't bury it.
She doesn't
leave it out. And because honestly, the burying it part, all that does is provide warmth in the cold winter.
Yeah.
Like, it keeps it somewhat not freezing. And in a modern era, if you put this in a jar, seal it and put it on your table, you get the same effect, really.
Gotcha. I'll bet there's a way to make kimchi in the Instapot in like 14 minutes or something.
Gotta be, right?
It's gotta be a way, right? I mean, that thing is like the the Doug Henning of kitchen appliances. It's like, you put your noodles in here and voila, a tiger now.
Freaking Doug Henning, you guys. Ask your grandparents. Man, that is a reference.
I don't know why it went right to the Doug Henning. I mean, we got your David Copperfield, we got your Penn and Teller, we got your Blaine. You know, we got all these modern day, quote unquote modern day magicians, and
there
I
you
have
go.
To go back to the Toothy Wonder,
Doug Henning. Yeah, your grandma's magician. Everyone,
he was just the best.
He was pretty good.
Just such a doofus. He was like,
yeah. I like it, though. I kind of miss the doofus. I don't like the era that we have now, which is, I don't know, that like the David Blaine of everything's dark and the lighting and the music.
Yeah,
and the,
exactly.
Not
right?
into that.
I mean, at least Penn and Teller are still kind of, they as far as magicians go, favorite magicians right now. I mean, I still.
They're great.
You know, I know there's some other great ones. Speaking of Vegas, I know there's some other great ones out there that you can see and funny and comedic, but. I don't want a magician that takes themselves too seriously. That was the big problem I had with David Copperfield, is that, I don't know. He just seemed like a little creepy in his dedication and in his focus.
Too into who he was.
That's
or
right.
Too into this motif of like this mystery and you'll never truly know me and like that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Freaking
exactly.
Weird.
At least Penn and Teller. I mean, you've got the teller's great. Going to go ahead and put this bullet in his ear. And now we're going to.
They're like modern day vaudeville, those guys.
They totally are. Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway. So kimchi, put it on everything. And here's my biggest recommendation. Kim bought these tender steaks on some sale she got somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, just load kimchi on top of a freshly cooked steak. It is heaven on earth. I am not kidding. It is so good.
It sounds really, really good.
But everyone's mad because everything stinks. So there's that. how'd your, I heard you reset everything yesterday. How'd that go?
So, yeah. So you know, basically trying to solve this networking issue and maybe try and figure out the bandwidth. Basically, it's been a matter of trying to take different modems and routers and make them the master unit, the MCP, the David Warner of my network, basically, and have it be the thing that dictates out and doles out IP addresses and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I figure, I'll just back up here a little bit. I talked to Scott about this over text yesterday. Comcast, not available in my area. The only other option is a company called TDS. And guess what? I had TDS years ago, and instead of stuff just disappearing for a minute with TDS, it would disappear for hours and sometimes even days. Like we went the tipping point, the final, the straw that broke the camel's back was TDS after a blizzard had no redundancy in their system. And we were down, with no internet for 3 or 4 days. And I think that's when, and we talked about it on the show, I think it happened during one of these shows where I just basically, start plugging into my neighbor's network. And guess what? Crazy neighbor has CenturyLink. And so plugging into his network, just fine. Worked just fine.
Mm. By the way, I'm not the only one hearing the irony of the name TDS, right? TDS,
yeah, right.
TDS.
TDS, I know. Yeah. I know. It is.
It's pretty good.
So, for better or for worse, I am absolutely 100% right now stuck with CenturyLink. Mm. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like CenturyLink is not the whole problem. I think it's something to do with the right router that can tell CenturyLink, hey, this Discord data is just fine to go through. I think there might even be a problem with Discord. You know, I mean, I think, I know you haven't had problems with other people. Well, we've had problems with Steven Schleicher.
Obviously, yeah, he never got it to work. He was always
never
got
it to work.
Yeah.
And I know Daryl and StarMike with This Week in Trek. They've been having problems with Discord and stuff like that. So I think that there is a modicum of blame that needs to go to Discord, a little bit of blame that goes to CenturyLink. And you know, basically the other part of this is that I think, all right, well, maybe it's my network. Hmm. And maybe there's something else on my network that's causing problems. So yesterday, instead of doing things like, I don't know, preparing for Coverville today or doing freelance, making money for the house,
mm-hmm.
Offsetting our horrible tax bill that we had to pay.
Ugh.
Maybe, you know, what I should do is reset the network, have my really good Netgear router be the DHCP server, have it be the master, and then everything else in bridge mode. And just to make sure there's not some little thing that's causing problems on the network, I'm going to go ahead and change the SSID that I've been using for years.
Okay.
And,
why not? Why not?
Why not, right? And why not, you know, let's just, and I know there's going to be some things I'll have to reset. That's totally fine. I'll have to, you know, reconnect my phone and my iPad to a new network and figure that out. Probably the Echoes will have a little bit of a problem. No, you know, I forget how smart my home is. Yeah. I have a nice smart home.
Sure.
And when you change the SSID that all those devices and all those things are paying attention to, boy, it turns into a dumb home. Like, oh, we can't turn on the lights because those are Hue lights and they're not, you know, I can have them on full blast by flicking the switch, but we don't want them full blast. They're really bright. We
sure.
Like having, you know.
That's the point. Have them be adjustable. That's the whole idea.
All this stuff in this room,
yeah,
right here, controlled, and I bet this won't work, but controlled with this little switch that I can just go boop and it'll turn everything off. Guess what? This also needs to be reset to the new network.
Oh, man.
The Echo device, the Ring doorbell, the camera that lets me look in the front yard. Right now I'm looking at a big white screen because I can't look in the front yard. So I basically have to go and go around to every device, reset it with a stupid little paperclip stuck in its butthole, and then go around and like reconnect it to everything, give it a new SSID, give it a new password, all that stuff. And
wow. Man. Yeah, you have not only Internet of Things, you have the Internet of All Things, it sounds like.
I have the Internet of All Things. So, I mean, it basically, how to make your smart home a dumb home in one easy step.
I've thought about doing that, but I don't really have much that I, let's see, I've got a Wi-Fi controlled power outlet I bought on sale. Mm-hmm. I have, that's it.
So you don't do, you don't have Hue lights, you don't do.
No, they always seem too expensive to me.
Yeah. Well, I get things like basically, you know, I get a notification when something like that drops below a certain amount. There's this thing called Camel that you can set up for Amazon where it notifies you when something that you're interested in goes on sale below a certain threshold. You can say, oh, buy that. And
is that a website then? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I'll have to go mess with that. I didn't realize this was a thing.
Really, really cool. And you can just basically say, hey, look at everything in my Amazon wish list and just say, boom, when that drops below a certain threshold, give it to me.
Just connect it just to the thing. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Camel. Anyway, so you know, I pick up I've got a string of Hue lights that goes across like one of those light strips.
Yeah.
I've got a Hugo right here. Not Hugo, but a Hue.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. A Hugo. I got it.
A okay. Hugo. But yeah, I mean, it's like I maybe thought of about a quarter of the things that I'd have to reset in this process.
Yeah.
And it's still not done. Like the Hue hub, which is plugged in, which is a wired connection, goes into this switch over here. The switch was causing problems, but I unplugged the switch going to the bridge mode Apple Express that I have, Airport Express over there. I mean, it is like I've had to be Joe network administrator, which I haven't done since the days of can I use your phone?
Yeah, you're an IT guy now.
I'm an IT guy. Yeah, exactly. And not a good one. No, I'll tell you that.
Being your own IT guy kind of sucks. I don't like it.
It really does. Yeah.
I know some people are into it. You guys want to build all your own stuff. You want to run all your own stuff. Hats off to you, man, but not me.
Exactly. And I know there's probably, you know, there's definitely listeners that I'm friends with, probably in my raid team or formerly in my raid team that live in this area that probably know exactly what to do. It's like, oh, yeah, I could have that fixed for you in like 2 minutes. And like,
that's just poopy competition, everybody. Somebody get out to the Arvada area and provide more than one decent solution.
Right, exactly. Give me a reliable, either cable-based, I mean, fiber would be, talk about dreamy, right?
Oh,
come on,
dude.
Now.
Yeah, Google, get your crap together. Keep moving.
Exactly. But anyway, I mean, just get, I need to get all this stuff resolved here.
There's probably
if only Todd lived in Arvada. Todd, gnome wise, man, he knows this stuff in and out. Like he'd have this thing squared away in like 50 seconds, right?
I mean, yeah, as long as there's nothing to do in World of Warcraft, he would be out there and ready to go. Because
so
that's the when I haven't heard from Todd in ages, I'm like, wonder what's going on. Log into Battle.net. Oh, okay, he's in World of Warcraft.
We're gonna see him next week in Vegas, and I'm guessing he's not gonna bring his gaming rig with him, so he's gonna be a little shaky. So hopefully he's got a tripod to mount the streaming camera. By the way, we're streaming. The goal is to stream Viva TMS Vegas, bunkhouse,
the stage deal. Stuff, right? Yeah. Are they cool with that? Bunkhouse is cool with that?
Totally cool with that.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I assume they're cool with that. Why wouldn't they be? I mean, it's not like...
I don't know. I don't know how people get. People are weird.
Yeah. You know what? I assume they're cool with it because James and Svet asked if we could also web stream the bands that are going to be playing after us. And I said, oh my God, yes. If we, you know...
Oh, well, that makes me think they're totally cool with it then. You're already live streaming something.
The bands are cool with it. Why, I don't know. You know, Bunkhouse is like, oh no, we don't want anybody to see what the inside of this place looks like.
It's a real shithole.
It's real. We're in the real far southern part of Las Vegas.
Nobody wants to be in here.
By the way, Mr. Vegas, inside baseball here, Nicole and Scott and I are going to have like a little producer's dinner at some point during this little trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, oh, hey, where do we want to go grab some dinner? And Nicole's like, oh, hey, how about one of those buffets?
Yeah.
And my like, reply is, there's a couple really good ones. You know, there's this one and that one.
Yeah.
And, buffets. Ugh.
I hate buffets. I hate them.
What is it about buffets that you hate?
Well, number one.
I'm not going to talk you.
No, I'll go to one. But here's the thing. I don't like a play. Okay, there's two main reasons. Three, maybe.
Yes.
Number one. They used to be a lot less expensive, and now they're ridiculous.
They're pricey. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
$40, $45 bucks for a freaking all-you-can-eat buffet, that sucks.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And I understand the good ones, that's better food. You get what you pay for. I get that.
Of course, yeah.
But that's one of the reasons you get a buffet is because it's cheap and it's all you can eat. Second reason is I don't like anything where I feel like it's, and this is true of like Sizzlers, all you can eat shrimp. It's any all you can eat anything.
Salad bar.
Yeah, I feel like I'm compelled to keep eating, which is something I'm trying to stop doing. But I feel like, well, I've spent this money, especially in this case, I've spent $50, in my case, $100, because Kim will be there, plus tip, where we're like, oh, I feel like I just keep eating, and then I'm a disgusting
exactly.
pig.
I haven't eaten $100 worth of food yet.
Yeah. Then the next day, I'm a disgusting fat pig. Okay, so that's number two.
Yeah. I'm going to guess number three.
Number three is that food's all hanging out in the open, and people are like touching stuff.
People are walking by, breathing on it.
Yeah.
Sneeze guards are nothing, man. Sneeze guards don't do little to prevent the...
Yeah, this is all my main issue, my main complaint. So
fair enough.
That's my
thing. We're not doing a buffet.
All right, we're gonna take a caller and we're gonna play a little of this. Oh, my camera just went crazy. Hold on, I haven't done this on Skype in a while.
Totally white.
Let me fix that. There you go. Your camera went away.
Really?
Yeah, you probably didn't know that it did.
How long ago did it do that?
Right when I accepted this call.
Oh,
there
okay,
you go.
Yeah.
You're fixed now. You're good.
Okay.
That's really weird. Hi. Interesting.
Yeah.
Got a caller on the air. Who's this?
What's up, Scott and Brian?
Hey! What? We were just talking about you yesterday.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
What's going on, dude?
Pretty good, man. Hey, man.
We were just
talking about the buffet.
We totally are. We're also going to play a game, and you don't even know you're going to play it in a second. But give us your buffet thoughts. What's going on with the buffets in the world?
Okay, I'm pretty sure you guys already watched Wild Wild Country, right?
Yeah,
Scott
oh, yeah.
has. I haven't did. Yet, but Scott has. That's on my list.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it then. I won't spoil it. But that whole thing just made me paranoid about buffets.
Oh my God! Really? Is there a buffet in the cult? Like, is there?
No. It's worse than that. It's one of the things that happens in that documentary where you cannot freaking believe they did it, and it's awful. God. So I don't trust them. I just don't trust buffets. They're too much money. They're too much hassle. Too much food and too much chance for people putting shit in your food.
So and then also going to Golden Corral and watching the kids stick their fingers in the chocolate fondue. He's like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, kids do that, dude. They do. Kids go over there
in the chocolate the waterfall thing, the chocolate deal.
Whatever. It doesn't even matter. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's rolls, and go over to the rolls. There's like three or four little holes. What are those from? Some kid's middle finger. As he walks by.
I 100% totally 100% agree with you. We Tina's folks wanted to go to a buffet while we were in Orlando.
Yeah.
And it reminded me what the not good non-Vegas buffets are like, because that's exactly what that was. It was, you know, food, it just basically steam trays of glop under heat lamps, people walking by, they look down, maybe smell it, stick their nose really close to figure out what it is, kids reaching up and grabbing something, bite, and you know that in some cases when nobody's looking, they put it back after they've taken a bite. I mean, it's that damn chocolate.
Yeah, that damn chocolate. They love it. You're all getting salmonella every time you go in there.
So I missed yesterday's show. I haven't listened yet. What was going on yesterday?
No, we just were thinking about you. I don't remember what we said, though. Yeah. What was the deal, Brian? Do you remember the context?
I don't remember. I don't remember how it came up. But we were, one of us said, you know, we haven't heard from in a while is JJ Valentine.
Yeah.
Hope he's doing okay.
Yeah.
I saw him on Facebook. He's doing fine.
And if you hadn't heard that, that's crazy that you called today. So here's what you're going to do, dude. You're going to be our contestant today. Normally this is battle or what do we call it? Babel Royale with Brian Dunaway, but Dunaway's in a meeting and can't be here. So instead, it's just going to be a quiz for you. And if you do well on this, you're going to win a whole bunch of crap. Are you down with that?
I'm down.
All right. Brian, explain to him how it works. What's going on?
Sure. So here's how I'm going to change it up, because if JJ is not familiar with the thing that I'm going to be asking a question about, I'm going to let him use you, phone a friend, basically. And here's the deal. I'm going to give one of you guys a topic. You're going to come up with as many things in that topic as you can. And I'm going to have you, JJ, predict how many either you can get right or how many Scott can get right. And just give me a number.
All right.
And if he can get at least that many right, then you win the prizes today, which are a 3-pack of Steam Codes, Gangs of Space Jingle Jam Pack, courtesy of Matthew Bach, Sleeping Dogs, the definitive edition, courtesy of Tanner Goodman.
Great game.
And my favorite of the three, just on name alone, Aviary Attorney.
Sweet.
Thanks to Wes Smith. So it's Bird Lawyer.
Yeah, Bird Lawyer. Basically, it's Birdman, the cartoon, but they couldn't use the license, so they came up with Aviary Attorney. Yeah, right, that's cool. That's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
So that's a big pile of winnings, dude. So how's this gonna go?
So first, here's the general subject. JJ, how comfortable are you with the TV show Lost?
I just watched the first season. Then I figured I was wasting my time after that. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give Scott the question.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you now that there are 10 total possible answers, all pertaining to a lot. It's a list from Lost, a Lost list. Mm. And I want you to tell me how many you think Scott will get right from this list. Now, Scott does regard Lost as one of the best TV shows of all time.
I do. It's up there.
In the top 10 or something.
Probably in the top 10, sure. Yeah. Top 15, maybe.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say 5, but I'm not going to make it easy for Scott since you said that this is in his top 10.
Well, keep in mind, not making it easy for Scott does decrease your chances of winning.
I understand.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Can I have faith in Scott?
Yeah, that's fine. Listen, I'll take your faith. I'll bake a bread out of your faith and hand it to you warm and hot. Let's do it.
All right. Nom, nom, nom. Let's go for 7, Scott.
All right.
7. All right. Scott's got to get 7 of the 10. And here's what your topic is. I want you to list as many of the Dharma Initiative stations. The stations had names. As you can.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And maybe I'll give you some help, but
okay, I'll try. I don't remember these very well, but I do remember some, so I'll do my best. Okay, so I'll just start and go here.
Just start and go. Yeah.
And he thinks I'm gonna get how many? 10?
7. There are 10 total. Oh
my gosh.
And he thinks you can get 7.
All right.
I'll be honest. I don't even know if I could have gotten 7. I think I could have gotten 5, but I don't know if I can get 7.
All right. I'm going to start with the easy one, which is station 1 was called the Hydra.
That's exactly right. Yes.
I remember
even
that.
Knowing that that was station 1. Wow.
Yeah. I remember that.
That counts as 2, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The Hydra and station 1. Sure. Why not?
That's 2 points.
There was, I don't know what number it was, but there was one called the Flame.
There is the Flame. That's right. Station 4 was the Flame.
Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. 4? Oh, geez.
That's all right. You don't worry about the numbers.
Okay.
I don't even know how the numbers come into play, so don't even worry about that.
Okay. If I don't need to worry about numbers, I'll be okay. Maybe. There was one called the... It's a bird. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Are there multiple ones with a bird?
No, there's only one with a bird name.
Oh, Swan.
Yes, very good.
Yes, because it reminds me of, what's his name that I fight all the time? Mendoza. Anyway.
Oh.
All right.
So far, so good.
There's one. I know another one. That I always get reminded of this because I'll see anything to do with the CW's Arrow. It reminds me of the Arrow. So if someone
very
says,
good.
Do you watch the Arrow? And I'll say, what, that one station? And baby, I can make a joke out of it. So there's the Arrow.
Nicely done.
Oh, man, this is where it gets murky, dude.
Okay, man, I believe in you.
You're doing really well, though.
Well,
you are, man.
And Juan Obos, to answer your question, yes, I did. This was a Frog Pants All-Stars game, I think the first year.
Oh, was it? I don't remember that. It was a long time ago.
I think Jury's team took it and they got one right. And I think Tom got the first one right and then whiffed on the second one or something like that. I can't remember the deal, but
yeah. I mean,
There was a whiff involved.
That couldn't have been first year for Jury, though. He wasn't there yet. He didn't show up till 2013.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. We had 2 years of this rad contest before he got there. Before he showed up and ruined
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say... Oh, duh! I just got it by looking at your screen. This isn't cheating, but I'm looking at Brian's video.
Right.
Tempest.
Yeah.
The Tempest.
Very good.
The Tempest. I remember The Tempest. And the only other one I have in my head is one that was named after a flower, but I don't remember the name of the flower.
There is one named after a flower.
The...
Let's see. How can I direct you? Think adaptation. Think Mickey Rourke sex movies. Think
Mickey Rourke sex movies.
Well, I don't want you to say the wrestler.
Oh. Wait. What's the one with the Cosby Kid in it? What's that movie?
Yeah, that's not it. That's Angel Heart.
Angel Heart. That's where she gets a shotgun in the you know where. Hold on. It's a flower.
It's a flower.
It's not like Daisy or Petunia or one of these cute ones. It's more like
it's more of an exotic flower, but it's a flower everybody's familiar with.
I don't know. I can't think of it. It's a bird. It's not a bird. It's a flower, but I don't know the flower. I don't know how to. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, it was there for a second. And it's gone. Mickey Rourke. Sex movies.
Yeah.
Wild. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Oh! It's not Rose. Wild Rose?
It's not Rose.
No, it's not Rose.
Oh my gosh! I don't know. I don't know.
All right, let me give you a hint. Let me just see if I can direct you in one more. If I can get you to say one more of these.
Yeah.
Here's an easy one. All right. If I were to say, it is, geez, that'd be really easy. All right. Think Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, Orchid. Is that it?
That's Orchid is correct.
Orchid.
Orchid is correct.
Oh, Wild Orchid was the naked movie he did.
Wild Orchid was the naked movie. One of the naked movies.
Right.
He did.
Have you seen him lately? There's no way that guy even gets naked now. There's no way.
No,
you seen him?
No,
oh my gosh, dude. It's frightening.
He's more plastic than man right now. I think the best response to that photo we just saw of Mickey Rourke was, wow, he looks like a hastily produced Mickey Rourke action figure now.
Like a mock-up that they're trying to get approved. It's like, hurry up and get that in front of that guy so we can decide if we're making the Mickey Rourke or not.
Exactly. Oh. Looking Glass, by the way, was the other one I was trying to get you to say.
Oh.
We're giving it to JJ here. You did really, really well. You got 6 out of 7.
That was painful.
The other ones you could have said, there was no way we were going to get him to say some of those other ones. The Pearl
was
the one you could have, one I was going to try and direct you to, but if I would have said Oyster, then you absolutely would have gotten that quickly.
Probably.
The Staff, the Looking Glass, and the Lamppost.
Wait, the Staff?
Were the other.
There's one called the Staff.
The Staff was the medical one. It was the symbol was the two snakes wrapped around a staff.
Oh, right. And the lady, the blonde lady, worked there, and then she ended up becoming like a cast member. Didn't she end up marrying
Jack?
Yeah.
And then she ended up with Sawyer. Her name was
She's awesome.
She is awesome. That actress was doing so much for a long time, and then
it's like kind of nothing now.
And then kind of nothing.
Which bums me out. She was super compelling.
Watch it now.
You should watch it, dude. JJ.
You should watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, you should totally watch it.
I'm gonna binge it. I'll probably watch it now.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's good. All right. Well, there you go. Well, congratulations.
Right. Caduceus. Caduceus?
Caduceus? Sure. She's the
Juliet was the character. Yes, Juliet.
Juliet, right. Oh, yeah. That stuff was good.
Ended up with Sawyer. And
I'm going to rewatch that show, I think.
It was really, really good. Yeah, rewatch that after you finish rewatching Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad, I'm almost done. Let's just say, I told Tom this yesterday. Let's just say we're to a point where, let's just say Hank is on the toilet and finds a book.
Gotcha. You're at the season finale of season 4
this is the half season of 5.
Oh, 5, right.
Which is technically just a season, but they cut it in half when they aired it.
Exactly.
So we're
writer's strike. Yeah. That writer's strike, man, and all the crap that it
that was a real bummer. Was that season affected by that? I don't remember. It must have been. I always thought they were just trying to drag it out like Game of Thrones is doing with their half seasons. I could be wrong.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, no. I know Lost had a couple seasons cut short because of the writer's strike.
Yeah, that was bad at one point. In fact, I think the writer's strike year is when you got the Nikki and Paolo stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. But don't tell JJ. He's going to rewatch it. Don't tell him.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. That's all right. Nikki and Paolo. Just
no,
forget it.
No
just
spoilers.
Oh, well, I'm not worried about it.
We'll just say, we'll say, look out for Xerxes from 300, because that's who Paolo is. And then he's also now on the Westworld. He plays the guy who robs the town. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, holy cow.
Yeah, I was trying to catch up on Westworld. Well, not catch up, but rewatch season one of Westworld before it kicks off this weekend. But
it's this weekend? Is this weekend?
Yeah, it should be this weekend.
Oh my gosh, dude, I'm so excited. I love that first season. I was totally into that. All right. Well done, JJ. All you got to do is email Brian, coverville@gmail.com. He'll send you the codes of these games. I can think of no one who deserves them more than one JJ Valentine. Take it easy. Stay out of trouble and give our best to Methland that you live in there in Kentucky.
All right. We'll
or give our best to the wife and kids.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's better. That's better.
Yeah. Say hi to Renee and the twins.
Yeah. Say hi to the twins. They're her kids, not. We're not talking about Renee's. Anyway, that's the point is. I've said too much. That's what the point is.
Yes.
All right. What time is it now? This time.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Oh, look, it's time for the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville, where today, God willing and stream willing, we will be doing a show about spring. Yes, spring has been here for a few weeks, but we haven't done a show about spring in Coverville for a while. So look for covers that have to do with growing and flowers and spring and all that stuff that comes with it. Here Comes the Sun, a great song about winter leaving and spring arriving, and more, lots more. Stick around. That'll be at coverville.com/live at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, the only time zone that matters.
All right. That sounds good. I know Kentucky isn't Methland, Jaring Rant Graham, who called me a dumbass. I was kidding. It's a joke.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Kentucky isn't Methland, dumbass.
The reason I said dumbass. That is because that's where Justified is set, and they're fighting a bunch of meth and pill issues in that show. It was all a stereotype from a show I watched. That's all it was.
It's like he was channeling Mike Myers as the Scottish dad in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah.
Because he puts 11 herbs and spices that make you crave it fortnightly, dumbass.
All right. It's fine. We're friends again, Jay.
We are, yes.
A racist meme showed up in a Utah ad online for some firewood, and I just had to share this with everybody because it's my home state. A little bit bummed this happened here, but here's what happened. A Hooper, Utah man. Hooper. Yeah. Now, first of all,
like five people living in Hooper.
That's my point. If I say the term Hooper in Utah, the terms Hooper in Utah, you know, if you know anything about Hooper, that it's a dinky, dinky backwater way out in the middle of nowhere, nothing town. Okay. No offense to Hooperinians or whatever you call yourselves, but there's like six of you, including the mayor. Like, there's nobody there. So keep in mind, that's kind of where this came from. A Hooper man got a shock while looking for wood beams to help build his barn. He came across the ad that said, the headline said firewood, wood beams, but instead of a picture of wood, it included a racist meme that read, "How to protect your watermelon farm." The words were paired with a picture of a scarecrow dressed as, you guessed it, the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh my God, I'm looking at this thing. That's horrendous. So this is like a Craigslist kind of thing. This is like, this isn't a company. This is just basically someone who puts up an ad.
Yeah, I think it's, so KSL, it doesn't say here if it's from there. Oh yeah, it is. KSL Classifieds. It's like, they used to call it, it had another name. But anyway, here locally, for whatever reason, one of our local news affiliates, KSL, it's the NBC affiliate here, they started doing like a Craigslist style thing, and it was before Craigslist had taken off or before eBay was very big. So on a local level, it really took off, and it still is big. This is where I would go if I was looking to sell a piano or pick up, you know, trying to find some old tires or something. Like, it's just become like this local version of an exchange or whatever, and that's what these guys did this on, which means obviously they don't have much vetting, do they?
Apparently not. There apparently is there's no guy that says, okay, yeah, that ad can go through. No, that one's incredibly racist and insensitive. I'm going to stop that one.
Yep.
Like, it's just basically, It probably, I mean, I guess there's probably something similar to Craigslist. I don't know if there's somebody who vets every ad, because it seems like as soon as you hit post, it's up there.
Oh, I don't think Craigslist cares. I think they, yeah. I mean, there's some weird stuff on Craigslist. I don't think they give a crap, but this particular one probably could have been vetted. KSL's a big public name here. Seems like they should have probably. Hey, by the way, there's a trend going on. I need to know if this is true in Denver as well. Chat room, I'm going to show you a picture of it. It's just a screen cap. That's our local news team from KUTV News Channel 2. And on that, it's on the same page at the very bottom. Are all of your newscasters standing now? Because ours are. They're all standing now.
Really, they're at a standing
desk? Everybody's at a standing desk now.
There's there are times that they'll stand as they, I mean, obviously the weather and traffic are almost always standing, but the anchor people will only stand if they go over to the social media news desk or something, and they walk over basically to a big monitor and point to tweets. And it's like, okay, I don't need you to read me tweets.
Right, right. You don't.
Yeah.
I hate that about
it. I can go to Twitter and read tweets.
Yeah.
I don't need you to read me tweets.
Local news has always sort of sucked, but man, we're at a new level of suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so bad. I don't know.
It totally is. I think I need to do what you're doing. Because I like the news in the morning, and I like seeing the weather, and I don't care about the traffic. I don't go anywhere. I'm stuck in this stupid house that I can't operate from my phone anymore.
The robots.
Oh my God. We were just talking about the robots taking over yesterday, Scott. This is how they do it.
They change your
SSID to something.
Yeah. First it shuts down. Then you think nothing works. Then they become sentient. Then you die. So there you go.
Exactly.
Anyway, local news bite me. Let's move on to this one.
But hold on. Because I do want to talk about they talked to the guy who posted the ad.
Oh, did they? Oh, he says, I didn't realize that that was on there. I was just trying to sell my firewood, this guy told Chris Jones on the phone Monday night.
He said that a friend sent him the meme and claims that he's not racist. So in other words, he's got a friend who's super racist who sent him that. And instead of deleting it immediately and saying, oh, dude, that's not cool, he somehow just kept it on his hard drive.
I'll tell you what, people in Hooper... I don't want to just besmirch everyone in Hooper, but I'm guessing none of them have actually seen a person of color ever in their lives. They don't know what these... Gotcha. They'll see a representation on TV and go, well, that's odd. Like, that's how backward that town is. So I'm not surprised by any of this. And only 100... Here's the other problem. Only 109 people saw the listing. But thank goodness for local TV news picking it up, making sure everybody sees it.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe you could have let that one lie and go, well, one guy's a dumbass, and not made a huge news story out of it. And here I am perpetuating it further right here on the morning stream. That's because we like dumbasses on this
right.
show.
Right. We do. Dumbasses are our bread and butter here at TMS.
We do like them. Here's a thing that looks like we avoided.
Maybe that's our show title. Dumbasses are our bread and butter.
There you go. Write that one down, guys. Vote for your things. Point S, and then put the title you want, and it'll submit it to the titles. I did that yesterday, and I used one of your recommendations, one of the higher voted ones.
What was our show title yesterday?
It was called, hold on, I'll tell you shortly here. Oh, it's actually in this tab. It is Algorithmic Hoo-Ha. Algorithmic Hoo-Ha.
Algorithmic Hoo-Ha.
Which is weird. Anyway. I'll do one more story here for you, fine folks.
All right.
At home, this is all about this pizza guy got busted, and this is probably a good thing. A huge arsenal of weapons were found in the home of a New York pizza delivery man with a grudge. They found illegal guns, including assault weapons and a silencer. They have allegedly found this in a sparsely furnished New York apartment of pizza delivery man who police say was harboring a grudge. Suffolk County police said that they went to this place. It was the home of Robert. How would you say that? Zach? C-S-A-K?
Sack. Yeah, I think that's, or Shack. It's Eastern European, maybe Hungarian. I know the C-S that you pronounce is like, I should know this. I think if it's C-S, it's pronounced just S sound. But I think if it's S, you pronounce it S-H and with Eastern European.
It's got a little bit of a Czechoslovakian deal going there.
Yeah, well, sure.
Who
that's
knows?
More of a CZ thing.
That's true. He's 32, and they went in there to do a welfare check. Earlier that day, another police department had advised the Long Island officers that he had threatening messages on his voicemail system of his former high school. When his landlord opened the door, police were met with a pile of weapons in an apartment otherwise furnished with only a mattress and a plastic chair.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, that's great. That sounds like a real good thing in the
making.
Glad,
you know what? Good thing they, this is a quote-unquote happy ending for a story like this, right?
I agree. Get him while it's hot. Among the arsenal, you got 9 illegal guns, assault weapons, hundreds of high-capacity magazines, so tons of ammo, a silencer, a bump stock, that's the attachment that makes the semi-automatic weapon shoot nearly as fast as a fully automatic machine gun. Quote, this is by far the most alarming threat we've seen. There's many commonalities between this behavior and the behavior of mass shooters. You think? A mattress, a chair, and nothing but guns? You think there might be, you know, some connections to maybe him being a potential mass shooter? Weird. Anyway, concerns have been raised because he left this message for a staff member of the Summit School there. He said he felt slighted by the staff member he left a message for and was carrying a grudge. So this probably stopped a major shooting.
I think so. It is weird that they focus a lot on the fact that he's a pizza delivery guy. I think that that's...
It's weird,
that's
unnecessary,
right? Unnecessary news. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah.
What is that? What are they saying? Because first of all, they're besmirching the good name of pizza delivery drivers everywhere. Mm-hmm. Don't lump them into potential psychos. They're just guys delivering pizza. They're fine.
Right, exactly.
Let's not perpetuate that stereotype that they're weird and that they do things to your pizza before you get it.
Ugh. Exactly, yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, Scott.
I don't either. Here's what I do know. We're going to take a break. We're going to play a song. When we come back, Tom Merritt, Nicole, and all that business. So come on back for that. In the meantime, Brian, spin me a hit.
Yes, so I'm trying to find information about this band. They're a band called Ghosts, and they're not... The band Ghost, or Ghost BC, which is actually who Hammond and I are going to be listening to very shortly for Soundography. But they're a band called Ghosts, and they're Ghosts with an exclamation point upside down before their name and an exclamation point down, right side up, after their name. That doesn't help me search. That's almost like, you know, code for Chrome to erase my hard drive or something.
Sure.
But the band is called Ghost. They're another band that you can find on Flower Moon Records. And they're really, really good. I went to the Flower Moon Records site to see if I could find them there. And I can't, which doesn't help me at all. Mm. Anyway, the name of the band is Ghosts. These guys are great. The new song is called Can't Commit. Here they are right now.
All right. I'll be right back, or we will be right back, with Tom Merritt. Stay tuned.
Because I can't commit. Maybe that's just how it is. You know I can't commit, so I quit. Yeah, you know that I had dreams that would blossom in my mind. Those things, it all seems so possible, like flying through the air and color TV. But when it comes down to it, I know that I can always expect myself to give up on it. It's the only plan that memorizes. Because I can't commit, and maybe that's just how it is. You know I can't. You know I can't commit, I quit. So I'll start strong and I'll drink for courage till my table's full of dies and dead soldiers and my mind's a wreck and my heart starved. And it's a simple pattern I am accustomed to. I'll build my I quit. And all these times that I
It's a feast. It's a big, hot and juicy Aussie burger. McDonald's McFeast. McDonald's have taken a big 100% pure beef patty and topped it with chopped onion, a slice of fresh ripe tomato, the freshest, crispest lettuce, a generous helping of pickles, double ketchup, mustard, all on a big sesame seed bun. It really is a big, hot and juicy Aussie burger. McFeast from McDonald's.
Hey, in the tub we go.
Do the bees know they make honey for you? This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
That was great.
Hello. Yeah. The instrumentation, the arrangement reminded me a lot of Greg Hawks in the Cars, mm-hmm. like especially during the chorus.
Who makes that song called Crash? You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Primitives.
Yeah,
here
that
you
song.
Go way too fast.
There you
don't
go.
Slow down, you're gonna crash.
That reminds me of that, like mm-hmm. that style of
totally. That
style
that
of music.
Kind of Baby Doll vocals, kind of the Jewel Kilcher
mm-hmm.
Style of lighter.
I dig that vibe vocal. Slash genre mm-hmm. slash whatever that is. I've always liked that.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, all right then. Now's I got to do this. Shoot. Hold on. I forgot I got to bring Tom in a different way than I'm used
yeah.
to. Because we didn't change this for him. Hang on
right.
a second.
Right.
I think I can just do that.
Actually, I wonder if he's on Skype. I'll just add him. Let's see.
He might just be on.
Do, 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 do.
I didn't warn him, so this may just be a total annoying thing. If it works. Oh, it totally worked.
It okay. did. Larry is right there.
Yeah, this is good.
Wow, oh. super zoomed in.
Yeah, super zoom. No, there he is. He all looks normal. Hi, Tom. Sorry, I didn't warn you. We were going to try Skype again because we're testing stuff for Brian. Hi. Welcome.
Oh, I just start everything these days. And
probably a good idea.
Answer whatever rings.
You're the smart one. Here's your theme.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Let's talk technology with one of the leading voices in technology in 2018. That guy is Tom Merritt, and he's here right now. Hi, Tom.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you are for me.
Nice of you to say.
I can only speak for me. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that. But I speak for me. You're my guy. I go to you when I go, oh, what's this about? I should find out. What's Tom saying? And then I find out what you're saying. And then I feel better about it.
And then someone criticizes me for it on Twitter.
Nah, it's all right. Twitter. That's what it's for.
That's the way the world works.
It's the way it spins. Anyway, good morning and welcome. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
What's happening in the world of technology, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I don't. It's the whole reason I'm here, so I don't mind at all.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different little things. It's one of those days, you know, I call them wide and shallow news days. Lots of little interesting things out there. The one that I'm most excited about is Fido 2. This is not a new version of dogs. It is a web authentication protocol. Well, it's not even just web, but it's an internet authentication protocol. It's going to sound real boring if I put it like that, but how about I put it like this? Never need to remember a password again.
Oh, hey, wow. You got me now.
That's something you might be interested in.
I really am.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Well, Fido was a consortium that involves Google and Microsoft and a bunch of companies to eliminate passwords. We've reported on it over the years on Daily Tech News Show here and there. And it has been slowly cooking along. Every once in a while, somebody's like, whatever happened to Fido? Because we're so used to startups out there saying, we've solved everything right now and try our product. Fido's actually a standards organization working on an actual working standard. And they released Fido 2 WebAuthn this past week. What's cool about WebAuthn is it's a standard that browsers will implement. Hmm. So this has got a much bigger chance of catching on. Because you don't need to have everybody implement a new thing. Now, individual sites will have to plug into it, but it's going to be easy for the sites to do because the browsers will handle all the really complicated stuff. So hopefully more sites will catch on. Google, Microsoft, already on board. We're still thinking Apple is, Apple said we're going to do it, but they don't have as definitive of a plan. Mm-hmm. And the security keys are happening. So YubiKey, which has the NFC and USB keys that you can use as a second factor, they've released a new key to support FIDO2 WebAuthn. And Microsoft, I think yesterday, announced a limited preview program to integrate it into Windows Hello. And that's a huge one, because if Windows uses if it to log you in.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then suddenly a lot of other people are like, oh, well, maybe we should use that since a lot of users will be doing that. Right now, it's just enterprise targeted. It's the kind of thing that's going to move slowly. We're not going to see it in the consumer space probably for a few more years. But it looks like it's actually catching on and actually working. The way it's going to work for Windows Hello, which is their login system for Windows if you haven't used it, is you will use the WebAuthn key. Let's say you use a YubiKey. Mm-hmm. And you'll be, sometimes you could just tap those for NFC. You don't always have to put them in a USB slot. And then a second factor. Now, Microsoft uses a PIN as a second factor with its facial recognition, which you may think, well, wait, isn't that just a password? But the thing is, a PIN doesn't have to be as secure as a password. A PIN can be, you know, just a few numbers. It's just something you know to be that second factor. Or the second factor could be your thumbprint. It could be the key and thumbprint. Or it could be the key and the facial recognition that Windows Hello does. Point is, you got options, and they don't involve remembering horse battery staple leap.
Well, I'll remember that anyway, because who can forget? But
now we know Tom's passwords.
Don't use that as a password. That was an XKCD reference.
Yes, do not reference that. Okay, I have a rubber meets the road question about this. From a practical standpoint, that all sounds awesome to me. Is this just a physical thing always? Is it some other thing that I don't understand about how the browser is going
to
do
it? It doesn't have to be. Yeah. Now, right now, the preview program is with YubiKey, so it seems like that's the way it's going to be rolled out at first. But it can be whatever you want it to be. So Face ID could work with it. Mm-hmm. You can implement it in lots of different ways. It can be two factors or not. That's up to the organization implementing it. But the cool thing, and there's a real good explanation about this on NosillaCast this week. Bart Buschatz was talking with Allison Sheridan about it. So if you want to find out a lot more, I would recommend getting that most recent episode. But the cool thing about it is, like I said, the browser handles everything. So you go to the browser, you use that to log in, and then the website really doesn't have to know much. It just asks the browser, is that him? Mm. Like this is our, you know, the way public keys work, this may be confusing to some people. Public keys work where I have a half of a key and you have a half of a key, and we match them, and they're like, oh yeah, those two go together, right? That's what happens when you log in with a password right now.
Right.
What would be cool about this is they'll never have to look at your public key. They'll be like, this is the public key we have. This is the half we have for Scott. And the browser will go, yep, that matches. Mm-hmm. But you never have to, it never has to see the other half.
So your go ahead, Brian.
Which basically allows it to be more modular. So like that local public key, the local half, can be, like you said, any of these ways of doing it, whether it's NFC or USB or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I love that. Yeah. And then you could maybe just pick the two you like best. I want a retina scan and a USB key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no one's going to get both of those. They might get your eyeball, but they're not going to get your USB.
And if somebody comes up with a really cool new way to log you in, like it's now
it just gets added to the
smell
list.
ID. We figured it out. We cracked the code. This system will be flexible enough to work with that. It's not technology reliant.
Right. So if I have it's on a key, like a USB style key is what I end up going with. In theory, it's plug it into my notebook and now I'm off to the races all day long without any kind of, it's not like I have to plug it in every time there's a new website. It's the browser is going to be smart enough once I've logged in to go, we're half the key. We know where
you
want to go.
That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. I think it could be authenticated that way. Certainly, it could work with LastPass or something like that that way. Mm-hmm. I imagine the browser could log you in by session like that and then just keep saying, yeah, he's authenticated, so keep authenticating him.
Mm. Well, if it becomes a full-blown standard, this will be fun because I like when big standards come around and then movies get hosed as a result. So, like, not being able to crack a password in a movie with technology and computers, that's going to be a whole weird deal, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be like I would do a dance in a theater if that happened. If I was watching a movie and I realized that's outdated.
Yeah.
No one uses passwords anymore. Like, remember how horrible it was back when we had to remember passwords?
Sure. Oh,
God. I'm sure you watched The Net with Sandra Bullock, and it's you know, it's a lot of that, like, oh my gosh, it's a 4-digit password. It'll take me minutes to figure this out.
Let me try all the combinations.
Yeah.
Darn it, it won't let me put anything but alpha characters in here. I can't put an exclamation point.
But like
here.
even
that John Travolta movie, Swordfish.
Oh, Swordfish.
Where all the password prompts are huge.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. This is the idea that, you know, we used to think, you know, what's the one, Zoom and Enhance or whatever was was like fake technology, and now there's like, was it Google or somebody's got some cool lab going where they're actually able to do this? They're able to
Litro,
yeah.
combined with a little bit of AI get you exactly that.
It's exactly that, which is so now we'll look at movies.
That is funny. Like some technologies are like, that's not real, and then they become real later. Mm-hmm. Like we circle back around. Hopefully passwords don't circle back around.
Right. Yeah. They were I'll never forget one of my least favorite examples of this. I mean, there are many, obviously, that I could probably point to. I don't like the Unix system in Jurassic Park. I don't like a lot of stuff like that. I don't like them. Newman having a video phone call on his old Mac to somebody down on the dock, but you see the little QuickTime video player playing.
Bar going across.
Yeah, like stuff like that drives me crazy. But one of my least favorite ones was in not Face Off. Was one of John Woo's movies, and I can't think of it now. All of a sudden, anyway, or maybe it was Face Off. But it was Face Off. They were gonna launch this bomb, and how they did it is they put a zip disk in a zip drive, and then suddenly this huge animated theatrical bomb warning thing came up, and I went, I have a zip disk. You're not doing that with
zip disk. Even I liked it even better when it was Independence Day and Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum are in the spaceship, and they have a HyperCard stack that downloads the virus with a cancel button in case, are you sure you want to do
this? Oh, wait, hold on. These guys aren't so bad, cancel.
Well, listen, Mac OS 7, System 7 was pretty powerful stuff, Brian, so...
Yeah.
Not exactly. Shocking. Anyway, this is
down an alien race and saved Earth, all right? Let's not.
That's right.
Yeah, so I don't want to rub
imagine what they could have done with SuperCard, which was just on the horizon of coming out.
Yes, scuzzy hard drives and everything. Anyway, that's all cool. I want to learn more about that. I'm sure we will at the Daily Tech News Show today. I'll be on show today.
We've got We've got a gaming video card controversy brewing between AMD and Radeon, or AMD and NVIDIA. AMD is Radeon.
Yeah.
That didn't make sense.
just a little backdoor stuff going on over there at AMD.
NVIDIA is trying to make things exclusive, and AMD has pulled off something very interesting by basically launching its own exclusive lines before NVIDIA's got launched. But theirs are open.
Yeah, which is weird because, I don't know, gamers are opposed to exclusivity. We don't like that. I mean, we like choice, and we like to not have some game not work because our card's different than the one it's got an exclusive deal with. So,
well, and it's all a marketing thing anyway.
It is, and they already do that.
This particular case.
I have games that launch that run perfectly fine on my NVIDIA GeForce card that say made for AMD, but it doesn't matter. It's just the same. And I have some that do the same thing for NVIDIA.
And what's going on here is, for example, let's say Asus Republic of Gaming brand, the ROG brand. Supposedly, NVIDIA is trying to say you'll agree to only use GeForce cards in your Republic of Gaming brand cards. You only use GeForce hardware, and then we'll put our marketing muscle behind it, right? Mm. And so AMD got Asus to put out a new line called ARES, and they're like, this one's got AMD stuff. That's what you want.
Wow.
It's called something else, but guess what?
Shots fired, dude.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to talk about as well. That's today. Me, Tom, Sarah, and Roger, of course.
Roger.
Yeah, Roger will be there. So that'll be great. 2:30 Mountain Time. Check that out. Tom, anything else you want to mention before we go?
More than 50% of the way to funding Trigor, the sequel to Pilot X. So still need more pre-orders. I need to get to 750 pre-orders, and we're 380 some right now. So just need a few more of you in the pool, and I will get the sequel to Pilot X become a real book with a real cover and an audiobook and everything. But we need to get to those pre-orders. So if you're interested in a cool time travel story, or if you liked Pilot X and you want to see the sequel, head to inkshares.com and search for Trigor, T-R-I-G-O-R.
Nice. Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. Take it easy. We'll talk to you later. Cool. Bye now.
Bye, Tom.
I forgot how to work this. Okay, there we go. Yeah, this is going fine. I wonder if Nicole got the hint.
Right, actually.
Maybe Nicole got on there.
Yeah, she is. She's on Skype, so you can pull her in that way.
Yeah, totally. All right, Nicole, I'm pulling you in. Jack shit you can do about it. Oh,
that's right.
I'm still doing the swear jar. Yeah, I'll put it right here.
Where's your coin?
There it is, my big challenge coin. There you go. Can you hear that?
It's not even a jar anymore.
I know.
It's pick up a coin and drop it.
This is all true. All right, we got to play this here thing. It's Nicole Spagnolo, everybody. How's it going? Hello?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Did something get weird? How are you over there?
Better. That's better.
Good.
There we go.
For cutting you out or something weird. Hey, it's we're going to see you in like a week or something, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to see her. We're going to see Tom in a week.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I booked a plane.
Yeah, if you did that, that means you're probably going. That's weird. I think we're cutting you out somehow. I'd yell at Mark. You should yell at Mark. It's all Mark's fault. What is that? Do you hear that, Brian?
No,
we're like,
I don't know what's going
on. We're totally cutting her off.
When we talk, it completely cuts her off.
Yeah, it's like you're in a different world deal. Wonder if,
Can we pull her in via Discord if we have to?
We could.
It's gonna
blow up. We're totally working now. Everything's working. Hey, it's Nicole Spag, everybody. Woo! Talking about recommendals. It's like nothing happened. People at home listening, they have no idea what happened there. They have no idea.
You're not going to cut that. You won't go back. Do you go back?
Oh, yes, he will.
In audio, I don't go back. I just pause, save, and then restart once everything's fine. So they're not going to hear any of that. And now they've heard this, and they're like, why are we hearing this then, Scott? Well, I'm not changing this either. This is staying right where it is. Live
to
hard drive.
Show up live and you'll figure it out.
That's right. That's right. You come live to the show, you bunch of babies.
You get a whole bunch extra.
Nicole Spag is here with us, of course, all the way from beautiful Colorado as well. And we're going to talk about recommendals, things we've seen on streaming services of various types. And Brian, we start with you
talk about one other thing before you play the clip.
Go ahead.
So I actually have three things I'm going to talk about. Only one of them I have an audio clip for. But the first thing, it's funny because I read a thing about the best movies currently on Netflix for April.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things in the list was this Japanese film called Battle Royale.
Have
you seen this?
Oh, yeah. It's that is the impetus for all the Battle Royale games.
Hunger Games. I mean, this thing came out in 2000. I didn't realize it was that old.
It's a hugely influential. And it literally, if you're playing PUBG or you're playing Fortnite, those games are based on that world. Like, that's straight
up the
idea.
Even the Hunger Games kind of based on that, because this came out 8 years before the novel, the first novel of Hunger Games.
Sure.
And it's 40 kids stuck on an island with weapons and basically last man standing kind of thing. I mean, it is Fortnite. It is PUBG. It's all that stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Halfway or half an hour in, I'm like, I don't feel like I can recommend this. I'm even having a hard time watching it because it's kids in school uniforms.
Makes you really uncomfortable.
Machine guns and stuff like that. It just feels, I basically just felt icky watching it. And so I had to stop. I might come back to it because I know it's like super influential. Like Shaun of the Dead, they've got a poster of Battle Royale in the background. They've used clips in Community and Lost and stuff like that. And there's been talk of an American TV series and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I will go back to it eventually. I don't know why. Just right now, it just feels like a bad time.
It feels a little weird. Sure. I get it. It
does feel a little weird. So I will eventually go back and watch that, but that is streaming on Netflix right now if you want to go check it out. And the first half hour, actually, until we got to that, like, especially the video that the kids watch to explain what they're going to be doing on the island is absolutely hilarious and would have been my audio clip because it's it feels like it's right out of a video game. You need to do it. It's like this high-pitched Japanese girl explaining the rules of the game, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, is it dubbed or subtitled? The one you watched?
It's subtitled.
Okay,
subtitled. Yeah. And the subtitles are even great because every time one of the kids gets taken out, they show how many kids are left, and this was boy number 7, Kuchinobu, and it's really bizarre.
Mm.
Anyway, and I know there's a sequel. We'll eventually get to that, but All right, so that's not my, that's out there. It's sort of a recommendation, but be warned that you might have a problem watching it like I did. Mm. Now let's get to my actual recommendal. Mm. This is something from 1971. And what's funny is this one, you know, had some current day skeeviness, uncomfortableness, unease that's related to a completely different reason. Oh, there it is. There's the Captain Kipper just posted the Battle Royale clip of the woman explaining the rules. But anyway, really, really funny. All right, so let's play the clip. This is from 1971.
All right, here it is. Let's see if you guys can guess what it is.
Hey, shithead. When was the last time you picked your feet?
Huh? What's he talking about?
I've got a man in Poughkeepsie who wants to talk to you. You ever been to Poughkeepsie? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been to Poughkeepsie?
Hey, man, come on, give me a break. Hey, what are you talking about?
Let me hear you say it. Come on. Have you ever been to Poughkeepsie? You've been to Poughkeepsie, haven't you?
I want to hear it! Come on!
Yes, I've You've been there, right?
Yeah.
You sat on the edge of the bed, didn't you? You took off your shoes, put your finger between your toes, and picked your feet, didn't you? That's it!
Yes!
All right. You want to see him, my partner. You know what that means? God damn it! All winter long, I got to listen to him gripe about his bowling scores. Now, I'm going to bust your ass for those three bags, and I'm going to nail you for picking your feet in Poughkeepsie.
All right. That is the French Connection.
That's exactly what it is. Gene Hackman, Roy Scheider, 1971 Best Picture, Best Actor Award Oscar for Hackman, Best Director Award. Best adapted screenplay. I mean, it cleaned up, did really well at the Oscars in 1971. And with good reason. It's a really, really good movie about basically drug smugglers who are bringing heroin in from France, into New York and then distributing on the streets. And Hackman and Scheider basically play a couple cops who are trying to find him, trying to take him down. Features probably one of the best chase scenes in movie history.
Oh, easily. Still holds up.
There's the one in Ronin. There's the one in Heat, I think. And then there's this one where Hackman is chasing a train in a car that's above him. And he's like driving underneath it, chasing the train. It's so good.
Yeah. In fact, Ronin is the same director. So.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Okay. So you end up with the same level of, you know, proficiency there. But I think French Connection, also given the time when it came out, it's still super impressive, that scene.
It is. Yeah. Now, Popeye Doyle, the cop that Gene Hackman plays, kind of racist, not just kind of, like super racist. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of police brutality, African-American police brutality, that, again, just feels a little bit like, wow, okay, here's something that is not as comfortable, not comfortable, but...
Well, they would. I don't think anyone was comfortable with it then. I think it's just the character of Popeye Doyle was supposed to be, you know, morally ambiguous and kind of a dick, you know.
But he's regarded as like, oh, he's a great cop, and he's kind of just a bit racist. Goes into a bar, an African American bar, lines everybody up, and I mean, it's a little difficult in this current climate. However, it's an excellent film. I mean, it's, you know, it won Oscars for good reason. It is streaming on a couple services right now, Amazon Prime and HBO Go. So you can check it out there if you pay for either of those services.
I don't think it's on Prime. I don't see it on Prime. I see it on HBO. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's on Prime's HBO deal. Because HBO carries Prime. Prime carries HBO if you subscribe to it.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, because I pulled it up on Apple TV and said, French Connection, and it said, do you want to watch it in Amazon Prime or do you want to watch it in HBO? And I'm wondering if we would have chosen Amazon Prime, if it would have said, okay, it's going to be this amount to add.
It'll just take you to HBO.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Probably. Oh, yeah, there it is. That's exactly what it is. I need to see that again. It's been ages for me. Long, long time. I wouldn't mind checking that out.
And Roy Scheider is just great. I mean, this was 6 years before we'd see him in Jaws, and it's really good. There's some questionable other police activity in this stuff that they probably wouldn't be able to get away with now, but it's really good and features one of the only times I've ever seen subtitles with an underlined word in them, like to emphasize something that one of the characters says in French. But
really, all right,
anyway, yeah,
I'm in. Yeah. I'd like to see it again. It's a good movie. Holds up, you might say. Makes me wish Gene Hackman was still making movies, but I think we're done with him.
Cool. And then I'll just throw one real quick thing out there. Set up a Roku for my next door neighbors, for the crazy neighbors. I'm basically letting them borrow my Roku because they don't have a smart TV in the basement, and we wanted to watch some stuff down there. And while we were thumbing through Hulu, we found something called Puppies Crash Christmas, which I think is one of these things that
I talked about this.
You did?
Did you really?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I was telling you they had like all kinds of different, like the thermostat and the puppies.
Yes, and the snowman melting.
Yeah, the snowman melting. We talked about this around Christmas time.
Okay, well then never mind. I won't bring it up again. Although I'm guessing Mateo loves Puppies Crash Christmas.
Oh yeah, yeah, I think so.
It was cute.
Okay. Just for the record, I think I may have screwed up a reference. Hold on. Yeah, I was wrong. No, French Connection is his. So yeah, same guy. Or no, maybe he did French Connection too.
William Friedkin.
Hold on. French Connection. Yeah, it looks like I got that wrong. With John Frankenheimer, who I was thinking of, he did French Connection too and Ronin.
Gotcha.
So okay. Not the same guy though. So there you go.
Well, this guy also did To Live and Die in L.A., which I think had a good chase scene, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that was a great chase scene, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Now you're making me want to watch Ronin, too. I love that movie.
That movie's so good. Yeah.
Also, Heat. Oh, Heat is so good. All right. Well, this is a fine recommendation. Here's my clip. Let's see if you guys can guess what it is. Meep.
I was thinking that we'd start. I ask you questions, and you answer yes or no. Were you the mastermind that cheated the Olympics?
Yes.
Today, the World Anti-Doping Agency suspended Russia's sports drug testing lab.
99% of Russian athletes are guilty of doping.
And I'm Robin Leach.
The one that won an Oscar, right?
We're doing all the Oscar. Yeah, all the Oscar winners today.
Yeah.
I did. It's called Icarus. It is on Netflix. It was actually a Netflix joint and won Best Documentary Feature Film at the Oscars this year or last year.
You said Icarus, right?
Icarus, yes.
Icarus.
It cut out. I didn't hear.
Oh, yeah. No, you're fine. Icarus is the name, and it's awesome. What's crazy about it is I don't even know where to start. The whole thing begins as this guy's documentary. He's a professional or semi-professional biker, and the whole thing is about doping and whether or not he could ever truly compete if he didn't dope. And if he did dope, could he compete better? So he's filming this documentary, and he's like, I'm going to see if I can be as good as everybody else, who apparently everyone says is doping, but they're all testing is not positive. And so he thinks they're secretly doping. So the whole documentary is just about whether or not doping puts people in a class where you just can't compete with them anymore. And so he starts to do that, and he finds a Russian contact who's worked with the Olympics before, who he gets in touch with, is friendly with, who's going to help him do this. The guy comes to the States and says, all right, here's the regimen. Here's what you have to take and when you have to take it. And then you'll start to notice a difference. And then by the time we get to this race, you should notice better times and, you know, all this. So they're going along, and that's supposed to be the documentary. And then wham, right in the middle of this thing, the guy he's been working with turns out to be the mastermind and top level dude who figured out how to cheat the Olympics and has for however many Olympics they've been doing it.
Wow.
For the Russians. And claiming that even the most recent Olympics that were hosted in Russia, what was the name of that town?
Sochi?
Sochi Olympics, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, Sochi,
It. Mm-hmm. Sochi Olympics was just, everybody was doping. Like, just dopey. And this is all common knowledge now. Like, we all know they were doping now, and we know that they, you know, they got hammered a little bit for doing that, but not very much. There's a lot about this in this documentary, but the documentary stops talking about biker dude trying to see if he can cheat the system secretly, and then becomes, holy shit, look what Russia's been doing. This is how deep it goes. This guy needs asylum. His family's going to get killed. He's going to get killed. His partner got killed mysteriously. Like, people who know about it start dropping like flies. Oh, he had a heart attack. But really, you know, it probably got poisoned or assassinated. Like, really gnarly stuff. It deserved its award. It's fantastic and totally worth seeing. And it's on Netflix, I assume, in perpetuity because it's got their name on it.
It's a Netflix joint. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's awesome. I really, really, really liked it. And it's also scary and pisses you off. And there's a million things it makes you feel. But man, Russia, dude, they got some... They do some stuff. Let's just say that. They do some stuff, and it's dark, some of that stuff. All right, so that's my recommendation. Wow. Nicole, roll out what you have.
All right, so I am probably 3 years late to this, but it kind of surprised me that, but it shows how the internet is pockets of things. Like, you know how a meme gets really popular, but you're like, how did I miss that meme? You know? So this is what this is.
All right.
Scott, I sent you the video.
Okay.
I'm curious if either of you have heard of it. I want to, someone in the tadpole posted it, and I'm like, what? So there's a whole thing with it, and we'll talk about it. And Scott, you can watch the video because that is a key part of this.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to hit play. Wow. Chat room.
It takes a lot to make a stew.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Dash of love to make it nice, and you got too many cooks, too many cooks, too many cooks,
too many cooks,
too many cooks, too many
cooks. Is this, let me ask real quick, this is the one where they, it devolves into like a total drug addled freak out.
It just keeps, yes, like keeps going on so, forever, and like there's a, so, a little puppet. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah, there's a puppet.
No,
in the...
No, you picked this. You picked this. You.
Yeah, you explain it. I've seen this 11 minutes before, but I didn't know there was like a series.
No. So this, I want to put some kind of things around it.
All right.
I'd never heard of it. Apparently this, so this is from Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And somebody posted in the tadpole. I'm like, and I watched a little bit of it. And I was like, I don't even know what the hell I'm watching. Like the intro doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just goes on forever.
For 11 minutes is this Too Many Cooks song. And it is an earworm and it's still stuck in my head and I'm trying to get it out.
you hadn't said, so this is old. But this came out in like forever ago. Is, didn't it?
That's
ago,
what yeah. I said. Three. I said I was three
oh,
years.
Oh, you said 3 years
later.
Years,
I've already prefaced this.
Yeah, you're right. You're
I know
right.
Somebody's going to be listening.
Sure.
So what, the reason why I brought it up is because when I first watched it, I kind of dismissed it. And then somebody said there's a murder in it. So I kind of went back and I kind of half watched it. Yeah. There's a lot of hidden things. So about 15 seconds in, you'll actually see the murderer standing right next to the little girl. He shows up on the steps. It gets creepy.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Creepy,
right.
Creepy, creepy, creepy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I watched a Wisecrack video. There's a YouTube channel called Wisecrack, and they did a Too Many Cooks versus Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. And it's decoding. I was fascinated. Like, I'm like, and what happened, because I watched this whole, and I will let you know that the reason why I went down this rabbit hole is because they did a Jumanji like Easter egg video that I watched. And apparently the killer in Too Many Cooks is the cook in Jumanji.
Oh, really?
Really?
Gives Kevin Hart the cake. That's the killer.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? And I just thought it was so weird that I'd never heard of this thing. And then all of a sudden I had like two different references to this Too Many Cooks. And what has happened, and they explain in this Wisecrack video, and I'll give you the link too, because it's definitely worth a watch, because I'd never heard of the other show, Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. What they talk about is why we feel disturbed by something. So why does this Too Many Cooks disturb us so much? And they break it down, and it's so fascinating to me to understand the psychology and what has now happened. I was watching Saturday Night Live, and they did like a spoof on one of those 80s sitcoms. It has ruined that for me. Like, it is ruined. And they literally are ruining your nostalgia and childhood with this stuff. And they talk about why nostalgia is so important to our psyche. And it's just, I just wanted to bring it up because I've been obsessing about it for like the past 3 days.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you could go deep on this one.
It is like a whole thing where, you know, they managed to capture so well that whole like perfect strangers, my two dads kind of feeling of that intro, and then subliminally stick these little disturbing things in there. I'm looking at the
now they're at the cop
the don't
part.
Hug me, I'm scared versus Too Many Hooks thing. This is interesting.
Yeah, Now I'm on. By the way, I kept the video going. I'm now at the police part where it looks like a common police drama intro, and there's a guy in a coat.
And people in the chat room are saying, "Oh, it didn't disturb me. It didn't disturb me." Keep in mind when this first aired, it was like 2:30 in the morning on Adult Stream, and it's like, what the hell am I watching? The other thing, if you watch the breakdown video, like I watched Too Many Cooks on its own. I was like, what's so weird about this? And I'm like, yeah, it makes me feel a little weird, but it didn't affect me as much as it did after I understood what it was doing. And now it's really disturbing me.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. I kind of want to go back. Oh, they're repeating that hawk and that fly over the house thing. That's just weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They talk about the psychology of repetition of words. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy, I can't remember what his name was, but he kind of identified like theater versus movie and how you get pulled in. And so he designed a whole way of theater where actors changed on stage and like the fourth wall was broken basically. And that whole concept, it's just that wisecrack video is really interesting to kind of get into the meat of Too Many Cooks and also introduce you to Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. And it talks about children's programming and how children's programming is used to kind of program kids.
Yeah. So, and then you can get down that real deep hole about all those weird YouTube things for kids that are just kind of psycho and gross. And I know, man, it's weird.
So I've just
that's right. Every time they show the killer guy, like there's some weird VHS artifacting on the thing that obscures his name, so you never actually see
it. Yep, he's even in the cartoon.
And then they go into space. Oh my gosh,
he's in the cartoon G.I. Joe thing. He's probably some super nice guy in real life.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Totally is.
Love that.
Just the creepy sweater and the long stringy hair, greasy looking hair.
Yep, high forehead.
Oh, I did say Adult Stream. The chat room's like, did she say Adult Stream?
You did. Said Adult Stream. Yeah. It's all right.
I meant Adult Swim.
Listen, Nicole says a lot of words she meant to be a different word. It's fine. We don't control it, nor do we judge it. She says things like
Don Cheeto.
So
don't judge me.
Yeah, don't judge her.
Where's the wiener?
Where's the wiener? That's right. Here's a good one.
Shedwick.
The top of the turd.
Well, here's a good one.
He is filming turds.
There you go. I like that one. It's a brand new one. Anyway, good one. So, so that's an interesting recommendation is go read this collection of things or go watch this collection of things. And
On YouTube. It's on YouTube. So there you go.
I want to
put the ear, is it called earwig?
Earworm. Earwig.
Yeah. And if you need to get the that earworm out, Nicole, just go watch the Songify The Room. By the Gregory Brothers. And that'll go ahead and clear out the Too Many Cooks out of your ear.
Yeah, you'll have no problem after that. Let's see. Can I find it here? Here's how I get rid of it. I'll do it for you now so that you can have it go away. So here you go. This will help you. Hold on. Okay. There it is, right here. Just play this a couple times a day.
Where's little Toto?
Yeah.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock hour. Got your traffic coming up right after this.
That'll always take it out.
Brand new one from Toto.
It'll always work for you. Well, fantastic. So next week there will be a Wednesday show, I think, right?
Will there? Mm-hmm. I don't know. We need to talk about that.
I don't know if there will be or not. When are you leaving, Brian? Are you leaving?
I leave Thursday, but
I leave Thursday.
Prep day, maybe. Hmm.
Yeah, it might be a prep day.
We'll see. We'll let you guys know. Yeah. But if there is one, we'll all be here. If there's not, we'll be together in Las Vegas, Nevada, and hopefully seeing a bunch of you there is the plan. Very excited about that. Nicole Spag on Twitter. Follow her there. She'll put links to everything we've talked about today, including her weird obsession with this thing that happened. Nicole, anything else you want to mention?
No, I'm boring today.
Oh, you're not boring at all.
Not at all.
Bye now. All right. Hey, we're back, everybody, and let's see what the weather looks like. Oh, there's nothing because we don't have anything else to talk about. However, I do want to remind folks, if you want to submit, if you're watching live, you want to submit titles for today's episode or vote on those that are already submitted, you can do it right there in the chat. A mod will show you how. To see the results and vote, go to frogpants.showbot.tv. And a couple other links to tell you about. That Kickstarter I keep talking about, the playing cards, it's up, it's out. If you want to go in there and get in on this while you can. There's a couple more teasers on there because things have blown up and we're like, oh, crap, all right, what's next? So now we're having to put up what's next. You can find that over at frogpants.com/cards. Frogpants.com has links to everything else, including our website at frogpants.com/TMS. And if you like this show, and I know that you do, you may want to support it over at patreon.com/TMS. It's how we pay the bills here at the TMS family home of the Internet of Things. All right, Brian. We're done.
So Brian affords to buy a new router.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, should 1 p.m. Coverville, song? By the way. 1 p.m. Don't forget.
That's right. 1 p.m. Coverville. Yeah. Spring in the air. Yeah. Jackalope. Ashley wrote in and said, it's my boyfriend's birthday. I don't know if I can divulge his age, but it's a milestone. He was in the Peace Corps in Grenada during his 20s. Grenada. Let's call the whole thing off. During his 20s, so I thought it'd be funny to play a cover of Turn Me On or any of the other songs that were really popular there 20 years ago. If that's no good, he loves Yes, the Moody Blues, and all 90s hip-hop and R&B. Thanks. Well, Ashley, I don't have any covers of, like, Beanie Man, Kevin Little, you brought up, Caribbean pop singers, but you said he likes Yes, and by golly, I've got a great and appropriate Yes song to play to close this out, because in a little over a week, about a week and a day, you'll be able to go into a theater and see the Avengers Infinity War. And right there, front and center, right in the middle of the Avengers, is a dude named Iron Man. He's the dude playing the dude in the iron suit is who he is. And Robert Downey Jr. How about a Yes cover done by Robert Downey Jr.?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
And it's surprisingly awesome. In 2004, he came out with an album called The Futurist. And on there was, as far as I know, I think just one cover, but it's this one right here. It's Your Move / Give Peace a Chance, originally done by Yes, of course, covering John Lennon, the Beatles, all that. But this is great. Here's Robert Downey Jr. covering Yes, Your Move.
Take a straighter, stronger course to the corner of your life. Make the white queen run so fast. She hasn't got time to make you wise. Cause it's time and time with your time and its news. Time you want, just remember that the goal is for us all to capture all we want anywhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't surround yourself with yourself, move on back to squares. Send an instant karma to me, initial it with loving care. Cause it's time and time with your time and his years is captured. Follow the queen to you.
Do.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Let me be with you.